Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine.
This week we're going to talk about something that is very common in our practices, which is the link between dementia and depression. Now, to begin with, behavioral symptoms in Alzheimer's disease or other types of dementia are extremely common and much more troubling sometimes than the actual memory-related symptoms. By behavioral things, I'm talking about things like psychosis and aggression and sleep disorders and wandering and hypersexuality, and then, of course, depression. Now, depression has a particularly unique problem with it, which is the diagnosis of depression in patients with impaired cognition, or at least some symptoms that are commonly seen in impaired cognition are often mixed up with depression. Depression alone can produce signs and symptoms of cognitive impairment, which makes this very complicated. This phenomenon is called depressive pseudodementia. In addition, elderly patients who become depressed are at increased risk of being demented or developing dementia, and patients with dementia may develop apathy, sleep impairment, social withdrawal, etc., that suggest the presence of depression but are entirely due to cognitive deficits. On top of all of this, somebody who is demented or has early signs of dementia can be really difficult to try to get a history and figure out where they are with regard to their affect, etc. Anyways, all of that is background. The article that you're going to talk us through today is from the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. It asks the clinical question, how effective are antidepressants in elderly patients with depression and dementia? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a systematic review and then also a meta-analysis of the studies, and they searched Medline. They did the usual search and a good thorough search. They tried to only include fairly high-quality studies, so randomized placebo-controlled trials, and they only found 7 studies on the treatment of depression and dementia in the elderly, which is pretty poor. 6 of the studies had less than 50 patients, so we are at risk of LCS syndrome, little crappy studies, lots of small studies. Only one of the studies had more than 50 patients, and the total patients in the 7 studies was only 330. In addition, these were pretty short-term studies. They lasted only 6 to 12 weeks. So that's another limitation. All of the patients in the studies were between 70 and 89 years and all had confirmed diagnoses meeting usual criteria for depression and dementia. So 2 of the studies used a tricyclic, 4 used an SSRI, and 1 used venlafaxine, which is an SNRI. The primary outcomes were measures of depression, and in the 3 trials that reported a primary outcome, only 1 found a significant benefit. 6 of the trials reported response rates. Overall, there was no difference in the pooled response rates when you pooled those 6 studies together, but there was a difference. It just wasn't statistically significant. It was 53% response with antidepressants, 39% with placebo. The P was 0.07. They had a similar outcome for rates of remission, 40% versus 27%. You know, I think you can make an argument that this is probably a case of type 2 statistical error, which means that there might well have been a difference, but they just didn't have enough patients to find it. When you only have about 300, actually less than 300 patients in these 6 studies, and you're looking at a dichotomous outcome like that, that's probably underpowered. And so there may well be a difference. It's just that there isn't enough data in the literature to detect one if there is. So the bottom line, the available data on the effectiveness of antidepressants in the elderly with depression and dementia are just too limited to draw firm conclusions. I think this is a case where there may well be a benefit, and we see hints of that in the data, but the studies just aren't big enough. You know, I think as a practical matter, I think I would certainly try to be aware of depression in the demented elderly and it seems reasonable to try these drugs given the possibility of benefit and generally good safety.
Right, just a couple of comments. First, new diagnosis here, LCS. I didn't ever know about little crappy studies, but this is the poster child for that, for sure. The other thing I think that you know, clearly this community, both the medical community and the family of these patients are desperate for some sort of treatment, and there's lots of examples of drugs that are marketed for this population that just haven't panned out to be very effective clinically. So my point is just, whether you try these drugs or not, you know, I think the outcome variables that we use in non-demented patients in terms of depression, you know, whether you're using some sort of a research scale like the Beck or Hamilton Depression Inventory or Prime MD or something, can't be used with demented patients. So it just, you have to decide ahead of time, know what the outcomes are going to be, and in many times mm-hmm. you're going to need to depend on family to tell you whether the affect is any different, and have them help you decide whether the expense and aggravation of giving a patient a pill, which is relatively safe and benign, is an effective treatment.
Yeah, great point. It can be such a challenge, and if these numbers are, let's say that the 53 versus 39% difference did pan out with a larger sample size, that would be a number needed to treat of 7. And I think, we'd probably think that was pretty reasonable to try with a generally safe drug. So, point well taken. We need to be, always aware of what our target is and have good communication with the caregivers about, is this working or not. Too often in elderly patients, we just start adding medicines and never, take them away if they don't work.
We'll talk again next week. Thanks, Mark. Good article.
All right. Talk to you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.